Thank the Lord for God giving us the privilege, the ability to be here today in His house. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. That's as far as I'm going to read for sake of reading this morning. And I want us to concentrate on these verses this morning. And I'll be honest, in studying it, my mind naturally focused in on verse 1. And but the more that I studied this, I believe God would have us to look at Jesus in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The author and finisher of our faith. Now, looking at these passages this morning, and if you look at this chapter, it deals much with our walk as a believer and how we deal with sin in this world. It also has much to deal with our relationship with Christ is concerning His chastening of us when we sin. You can read the very first verse encourages us to lay aside every weight. The things that, weigh us down and the sin which doth so easily beset us. These things, when he said they beset us, these are things that come to trouble us. They enclose round about upon us. They surround us and they harass us. That's these weights and sins, and it's our spiritual life that it does that to. That's what sins and weights are there for. They're there to harass and trouble and surround your life and my life. It's there to hinder us in our spiritual growth. It's also to hinder our fellowship with the Lord. Not our relationship, but our fellowship with the Lord. Now, God goes on and he, in this chapter, in verse number 7, he said, if ye endure chastening. He's talking about the chastening hand of the Lord that God dealeth with you as with sons. God only deals with sons and daughters. When he says sons, that's what he meant, his children. God only deals with sons. He doesn't deal with lost people. God does not chasten lost people. They're not his. Like your children and my children, I deal with my children. Amen. I'm not going to whoop your children. That's for you to do. And it's for you to correct your children. It's my responsibility to correct my children and to chastise my children. Well, so God, He deals with us as with sons. Now, I've said it many times, the chastening hand of God, which we're all that are saved, everybody that's saved is a part of. You're not going to go through this world without learning what the chastening hand of God is. And that's what God said in verse 8. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. He's talking about all that's saved, all the sons. Whereof all are, then you're bastards and not sons. In other words, if God don't deal with your life, if God does not chasten you, if God does not correct you, if God does not instruct you, are you listening to me? And then you're not His. The Lord is going to instruct those that are His. He's going to teach those that are His. And He teaches us to be obedient. That's what He does. Every son that is chastised or daughter, they learn to be obedient. That's what God is looking for in His children. He wants us to get to the place where we are obedient children. We do those things that God asks us to do or not to do. And so that comes from the chastening hand of God. Now that doesn't always mean that you're getting whooped. I really believe this with all my heart. The Lord showed me this years ago that the whipping of the child is the very last stage of chastisement. It's the last stage. First comes the teaching and the correction and the instruction. Then the chastisement. I mean, when you can't get them taught and turned and corrected through instruction, amen, and through guidance, then the last thing to do, then that's the same way it is with a shepherd and a sheep. If he can't, you know, take his staff and put it to their side and keep them, you know, going in line and staying in the pasture. If they keep wanting to stray and go away, he'll finally chastise that sheep with his staff. And it is with the Father. It's always that way. The correction, the instruction, go this way, not that way. Stay here, don't go there. All the things that God does to correct and instruct our lives and mold our lives. The last effort is chastisement. It's when a child of God simply does not get the fact that he's not his own anymore. He's truly been saved, born again, but there's something in their life that they are just not going to submit to the Father for whatever reason. And the Son, God has to chasten them. Amen. And has anybody been chastened of God in here? I've been chastened of God many times in my Christian life. And it's the place that God has me at now. The hand of God chastening me has helped mold me and bring me to this place. And it still continues to chasten me and mold me. And so I'm a partaker, and you're a partaker of His grace, of His divine hand, of His instruction. And look what it says about the Lord. He tells us in our life how we are to walk, how we are to lay aside these things that trouble us, these things that will beset us, every weight and the sin, the things that are clear sin and things that are weighty. They weigh you and I down. And He said that we might run with patience the race that is set before us. You and I need to realize that our Christian life is a race that God has placed us in. God's placed you in this race. Are you hearing me? It's the race that God puts every one of His children. You say, I don't want to run. You're going to run. If you're saved, you're put in the race. And you're put in the race to run the race. Every one of us that's saved, as much as we are a partaker of the chastening hand of God, you and I are partakers of the race. And we are looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, he says, our example. And this is the part I want to get to. Again, you can study the rest of the chapter out, and the rest of the chapter talks about his dealing with us, his chastening hand in our life, what it does in our life, and all these things about instruction and correction and sonship. Being a son, what it means to be a son, what God does with you if you are a son, and it tells you what you are if you're not a son. All the way down, the chastening, warning about Esau, and warnings against rebellion, and believers, you know, coming into the, you know, this grace that God has given unto us. And even the final goal of heaven. But it all has to do with how he deals with sons. But he says here in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Now the one thing that God does not want us to do is to be weary and faint in our minds. There's a lot of weariness going on today. There's a lot of fainting going on today. Are you hearing me? It's something. It all has. You know where weariness and fainting comes from? It comes from not understanding our relationship with God as concerning sonship and chastisement. Look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now here's what the Bible says about him. He is the author of our faith. That means he is the originator of our faith. He's the one that gave us this faith. He is the creator of our faith. Amen? I mean, we would not have faith if it were not for Christ. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's not only the creator, the maker of our faith, but the finisher. Have you ever seen somebody stain a door? Just, you know, think, I'll put a thing of stain on it and slap it up there. That door's still just as rough. But there are people that'll finish a door. And they stain it and they sand it. And they shlack it and they sand it. And they shlack it again and sand it again. And shlack it again and sand it again. And they'll do that 3 or 4 times. You'll think, my goodness, when are they ever going to get finished with this? But they're putting a finish on it. And you're not going to feel any bumps. You're not going to feel any pieces of wood sticking up, not a hair. It's going to be just as slick. Are you listening to me? He's a finisher is what he is. And Christ is not only the author, the creator, the originator. He is the finisher. He's going to polish me and you off. Are you listening to us? He's a finisher of our faith. He's going to make sure that you and I finish what we are to be. Amen? He's going to present us spotless, finished. Amen? You and I, Christ is the one that makes sure you and I are finished. Amen? Spotless before Him. When He presents us, we are going to be a finished product. We are accepted in the Beloved. We are perfect. That is the finished product. Perfection. I don't know about you, but I've got a long way to go before I get perfect. Amen? But I know my Lord is working in my life to present me perfect. And so He's going to finish you and I. Our faith, what we live by, what we believe, who we are. Listen, your faith is not just what you believe, it's who you are. Let me show you something. And this is not even a true faith. I know of people that right now, five times a day, they'll spread out a rug. They'll stop right in the middle of whatever time of day it is, at least five times a day. They'll put a rug out, a little short rug or a cloth, and they'll get down on that and they'll face east. They'll face actually a city called Mecca. And they pray to a God different than the God you and I serve. He is different than the God you and I serve. And they'll do that. And listen, they dress a certain way. They believe a certain way. They are governed by that way. Their lives are totally wrapped. You know why? That's their faith. You see, Christian, we have taken advantage of God's grace for a long, long time. Well, somehow we think that we can have faith and yet not transform our lives. But our faith is our life. Amen? It's who you are. Amen? It begins at the very creation of your faith. The very beginning, God makes you and I a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's different than anybody else on the face of the earth. We are made a new creature. We're not being made a new creature. We are made instantaneously by His grace, by His blood. We've been made a new creature. He is the author of our faith. Amen. Of who we are as a people. Of who we are as a people. Just like the Israelites are the Jewish people, God's chosen people, and they have a belief system. Why? Because God gave it to them. And it is the way they live or supposed to live. So you and I, as the church of Jesus Christ, we have been changed, transformed. God's word is put in us. To do naturally those things contained in God's Word. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, our life, our belief, everything that you and I are. Amen? I don't do it just because I'm made. Listen, we do these things because it's who we are. We're being molded into His image. Amen. You are a Christian. You're not something else. You are a Christian like Christ. That's what we are supposed to be. Amen. That's who we are. Our life is to shine forth as lights. Our life should be a light shining forth, a light that is a testimony. And so it is. Now listen, he said, looking unto Jesus. I want you to look to Jesus so that you don't get weary and that you don't faint in your mind. Look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. You say, Brother Mark, he did what he did because, you know, he's the King of Kings. Right? He's the Lord of Lords. He's going to sit on the throne. He is God in the flesh. He's got all the heaven to live in that he's created and made. He's perfect and glorious. He's got streets of gold and gates of pearl. That wasn't a joy that was set before it. He wasn't doing it for streets of gold, Brother Adam. He was doing it for souls. The souls of me and you. The souls of mankind. The souls of lost Adam. The souls of fallen man. So for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Listen, he did what he did, not because it was going to be easy to do it. He knew what he had to endure. What he had to endure. And listen, you and I go through this life, and as sons, if we're going to be like him, we're going to endure some things. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Amen? We'll have to endure some things. If we're going to run with patience the race, we're going to have to lay aside some things. Some weights and sins. We don't see them all the time as weights and sins. Brother Danny, I see them as things I like. Things that are pleasurable to me. But God said, it's not what you're looking at it wrong. These are weights and they're sins. So it's not the Christian life where you can go on in God's grace and lap up the world and have a good time and nothing ever crosses you back the wrong way. No, living in this world, they will live for Christ in this, you're going to suffer in this world. There's an enduring of things in this world. Amen. Listen, he said, look to Jesus. Jesus had to come and he endured the cross. He endured one of the hardest thing that anyone would have to endure. Despising the shame. Despising. I don't know about you. I don't like being whooped. And I hate trials. I'm going to be honest with you. I despise them. I don't like going through deep storms. And if you be honest, you don't like going through them neither. There ain't none of us likes going through that stuff. Those are the parts of the Christian life but it's for a purpose. It's for a more divine purpose than just you and I having a good time every day. And I'm not saying it's all about that. Listen, no, God has set joy before us. Amen? Great joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen? The power of the Holy Ghost that you and I can enjoy and live in and walk in. Are you listening to me? That relationship you and I can have with Him. Peace that the world cannot offer. But we are going to endure some things. Despise some things. And Christ endured the cross. Endured the cross, despising the shame. And here's one of the things that I think that he endured on the cross that was as hard as anything. He said in verse 3, for consider him. I want you to consider this. I want you to consider Christ that endured such contradiction of sinners. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. So what does that mean, preacher? Well, it means he came to give his life to save them. And in great contradiction, they gave their lives to kill him. They said, away with this man. His blood be on us and on our children. They said, give us Barabbas. Crucify him. You talk about a contradiction of sinners. I mean that he came to save their soul and that they rejected him. He came to his own received him not. He endured such contradiction of sinners. You'd think that any sinner would welcome his sacrifice. You would think that a dying sinner, somebody that realized they were lost, going to go to hell when they died for all eternity, would turn to Christ, would be glad. But people don't want, they don't want him. They don't want him. They don't want him. As much as he wants them, they don't want him. Can you imagine enduring that? No matter how much you want somebody, they don't want you. No matter how much you love somebody, they don't love you. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. We've not endured what Christ endured. We've not, listen, we have him that does love us. And he does want us. And so he asks us to endure chastening. God is dealing with us as with sons. Don't be weary. Don't faint in your minds. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. God's not called upon you and me as of yet, nor what Paul had wrote to these Hebrews. They've not been called to give their life like Christ gave his life, striving against sin. But Christ was, he was not just striving against sin, he was paying for all sin. Paying for all sin. The Lord had laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Where you and I are pushing back against it, laying it aside, it was placed upon him. Can you imagine the things that we are trying to get rid of, that it was placed upon him? He did not commit sin. Jesus never sinned. Don't ever get that crossed up in your mind. Jesus never sinned. He was not a sinner. He never had to be born again. Are you listening to me? He came to take the sin of the world upon him. He bare our sins. in his own body on the tree. No wonder he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Enduring such, being in agony, despising the shame. Listen, God gives us chastening so that we not endure shame. God doesn't want us to be shamed in public. He doesn't want our life to be a shame to those round about us. But look unto Jesus. Look to Jesus. When you're laying these weights and sins aside, when you're striving to run the race with patience, and that patience gets wore thin sometimes, look to Jesus. When you're having to endure, remember what He endured. Amen? Remember that He was alone. But remember that He is the very author and finisher of your faith. His hand is upon your life always. Our Lord was alone. But His hand is upon us always. He had to give His blood. We've not been called unto blood. Despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. Verse 5. That's an exhortation. Verse 5 says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. This is a tender exhortation. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. Don't faint when God rebukes you. How does God rebuke us? Through His Word. A lot of times, through the teaching, through the preaching of God's Word, and people will get upset sometimes. God said, don't do that. When you're rebuked of the Lord, get to the place where you can handle a rebuke from the Lord. A rebuke from your teacher or your pastor or an elder. Amen? It's to help you. It's not to hurt you. It's not to punish you. It's to help you. You endure chastening God, dealing with you as with sons. For what son is he who the Father chasteneth not? What son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Without chastening. Listen, I've told parents, even here in church, listen, especially when your children are little. Listen, God made something back here on the backside. It's good and padded. And it's meant to sound worse than it feels for a purpose. But that's a chastening. And it's a chastening to correct them. And if you'll do that when they're young, you won't have to do it as much when they get older. Why? They become obedient. You do that when they're little, but if you let them be Tasmanians when they're this high, You're not going to be able to do nothing with them when they get this high. God chastens us from the beginning. And He doesn't want us to despise that. Don't despise chastening. And parents, don't despise having to chasten. Amen? You don't chasten them that, I mean, the ones you're not going to chasten, those should be somebody else's kids. But yours, just like God dealeth with you as with sons. He said in verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. We gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Look to what our Lord endured and live. Look to what Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the one who is there to instruct us, lead us, the one who said, when I go away, I'm going to send you a comforter, a teacher, a guide, and He will lead you and guide you into all truth. He's going to be just as I have been. Paraclete, one like me. He did not want to, why? He was going to be exactly the same. And the saints of God, the disciples, when Jesus left, they were aching and they were feeling alone. When the Holy Spirit came, they had Jesus back. That same peace. Just like when they didn't identify Him on the road, you know? Those two on the road to Emmaus, wasn't it? And He talked to them. And then He disappeared. And then they realized same fire that burned in us like when Jesus talked with us. Same fire. It was Him. It was Him. That's what God is wielding in your life and my life. Amen? That you and I, listen, I thank God when I hear that rebuke. Listen to me now. I thank God when I hear that instruction. Or that correction. You know why? I'm glad I'm His son. I'm glad that I have a relationship with Him. The Savior of the world. The Creator. The one who came to me years ago and started my faith. He's still with me. Still walking with me. Still teaching me, still instructing me. Are you His today? Are you His? He wants you to be. There's not a doubt in my mind He wants you to be. He endured such contradiction of sinners. You may not want Him, but He wants you. He wants you to be a son or a daughter, one of His children. I want you to stand.